The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Well, we are having a Merry Christmas. Let's try it one more time. Peace be with you. How is everybody doing? Merry Christmas to you. Or actually, you know something? Maybe it's just annoying. There's an annoying side of me that does stuff like this. I think I'm going to start saying Happy Christmas. I don't know why. But I just in my mind, it feels right just to bother people. If you notice, I have a lot of words I say weird anyway. So Happy Christmas just goes along with that weirdness in general. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to grab them. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Now, we were in Luke last year, so this shouldn't be too hard to get to. Luke chapter 2, it's on page, 857 in the Hardback Black Pew Bible. Again, you don't have a Bible. I want you to have it open so you know what I'm saying is not from me, but is of God. I want you to have it in your hand as you get into it. And listen, I want you guys to hear what has to be said today, because this is not going to be, I say this now and then it's going to be extra long. I don't think it's going to be all that long, but, and I don't even have points for you to write down today. I really don't. I just want you to get the soul tattoo and just hear, because this is so important. The title of today's sermon is All Things New. Everybody say that. All Things New. That's it. Everything's new. Literally, Christmas is about Jesus coming and everything being new. And here's my hope. Regardless of how you came in here today, I just want to elevate your confidence in who our God is. That's it. I just want to elevate your confidence. If you're a believer, I want to elevate your confidence in who our God is. That's my hope. And I'll tell you why. Because for many of us right now, we're in a really sweet spot, right? I mean, we got family coming in, or maybe you're going to see family. How many of you guys are going to be traveling or have family or going to see family this week? Anybody? Good. I know Heather and I, we're going to be dipping. We're going to go see our family here pretty soon. You know, you always have that black sheep. Usually it's me or, that'll pop in. That couldn't make it this year, but celebration is going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. You're going to have fun with family, with friends. That's what it is. Or maybe it's been, like Heather and I, it's been a pretty tough year. And you're looking forward to this time. You're looking for some time to get away, to recoup, maybe to sit down for a second and kind of hear things. And listen, the world may be in balance for you. The world may be a wreck. But in the end, I want you to have hope and confidence in who our God is. You see, for some of you guys, it might be the first Christmas ever a significant loss. For some of us, it might be a first Christmas ever a significant gain. But regardless, I still want you to have confidence in who our God is. Whether the loss is the death of the family, or whether the loss is somebody that has gotten divorced, or a family split up in somewhere, grandma or grandpa aren't here for the first time. Listen, no matter what's happening in your life, you should have confidence in who God is. You see, the good news of the gospel, regardless of how you come in here today, the good news of the gospel and the confidence that should be raised that we believe in what we proclaim, especially in who we proclaim Him to be. Especially in who we proclaim to be. My goal is simply just to elevate that confidence, to help you stand a little bit higher and go, yeah, this makes sense. And here's what I mean. The reason I take you over to Luke is Luke is a lot like me. You see, I grew up in the church, but I didn't grow up as a believer. And so when you read the Bible, there's certain people you read if you grow up as a believer, like John. John starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Like, he just starts off with Jesus. And you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? Or you get over to Matthew, and Matthew's like, hey, I'm going to show you how he's the king. Luke didn't walk with Jesus. Luke is a skeptic. Luke went and researched it. Luke and I are friends. I get Luke. I feel hard. Luke and I, like, if I were to talk to Luke, I'd be like, bro, I feel you, man, right? And so Luke wants to know how and why it happened. And so I take you here because I've been watching. Have you guys, you ever turn on, like, Discovery Channel this time of year? If you ever turn on Discovery Channel or maybe CNN, they start having this, who is the real Jesus, right? And they start talking about all these myths. And, one of my favorite, this literally happened this week. It was on, I think it was National Geographic or Discovery, one of the two. Jesus was a kid who went to Egypt, according to the station, and he learned magic. So he came back like, you know, David Blaine or something, doing card tricks and elevating. And people were like, ooh, ah, he must be the Messiah. And then he died. Like, that was the premise of this half hour show, which I tend to watch those shows and do something else so I can redeem that time. Cause you're never going to get it back. You'll never get that half hour of your life back. Right. And so like you watch these shows and people will tell you stuff like, well, he was just a good teacher. He was just an amazing prophet. Except for if you read prophets, prophets don't talk about themselves being God. And if you talk about teachers, teachers aren't good teachers when they do the things that Jesus taught, which is literally going and breaking down all the teaching of the Old Testament and saying, I'm the fulfillment of all of it. You have to understand that when you look at Jesus as a whole, he's not just a dude that showed up on the scene at this time of year. He's not just a baby that showed up in a manger. He's not just a story that we talk about. He is so much more. Yeah, I'll start with the basic, and then I'll build some complexities on it just so you can kind of hear it. But you'll never get overly complex in this whole story. The more you read the story, the more you understand the story, the more, even if you have a background in church, the more you dig, you'll understand the beauty of what is going on here. A few years ago, my family got the chance to go to Disney World. We all went together. There was 17 of us in the crew. It was kind of ludicrous, to be very honest. I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to go. I was completely against it on so many levels. And then I got there and then Disney like sucked me in. Have you ever been near Disney? They suck you in. And then you're about 2 days in and you're just like, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, tears are falling off your face. And I don't know how they do it. Like, I don't know if there's something in the air they're pumping into your body. I don't know, but I was in. Like, I didn't realize how bad Disney had me in until I got to the airport and nobody cared about me. You know what I mean? Because like when we got to KCI, I turned in my luggage and then it showed up in my hotel room. It was magic. Right? And then I got to the Fort Lauderdale airport and nobody gave a rip about who you are. They didn't care of making your best life now. None of it. They were just like, whoever, whatever, get on the plane. Bzz, right? And that was, it was crazy. Nobody was catering to me anymore. And I was amazed by Disney because what they've done, if you ever thought about it just from a cynical point of view. So here, I'm gonna let you into my mind. Here's the way that I see they've done it. They somehow have put all the princesses together, right? And all those princesses somehow invade my bank account. And they teach my daughter to have high hopes that will never be achieved, at the same time hating stepmothers. You ever notice that? Like, if you just think about it from a cynical point of view, this is my mind, this is the way I think about it. It's ridiculous. But that's exactly what they've done. And then they're like, now go buy my products. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy it. And if you ever read the stories behind some of those things, they're sickening. They're kind of crazy. If you ever go back and read some of the original stories, if you want to offline, I won't do it on the recording in case some kids around to hear it. But like, if you want to, I'll tell you the stories behind some of these. They're really sick and twisted. Disney has prettied them up for us to make them seem very nice. They're like poison apple. I'm like, that's not it. There's a lot more to it. And that's nearly nasty, but that's what they've done. And they make us feel real good about it. You see, what happens is it starts off with a once upon a time and it ends with a happily ever after, right? That's the way it starts, with a once upon a time and a happily ever after. And you get this bag of goods where you grab onto the Tinkerbell and you hear the poison apple and you know what's going to happen. And then you get back in the end of it and everything kind of wraps itself up. But when you read this story, that's not the way it reads. That's not the way it reads at all. Matter of fact, I want you to grab your Bibles again, turn to Luke chapter 2, and I want you to hear what it says, because I love C.S. Lewis. He's one of my favorite theologians, and he, a professor of medieval history, said, this doesn't read like a fairy tale at all. So I want you to hear it, not as a fairy tale, but as actual history. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David. Now it was called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. The soul tattoo today. It's very simple. Very simple. And it's all I want you to get today. Jesus came to give you an eternal gift this Christmas. If you haven't, I want you to open it. If you have, unwrap that bad boy again. It's time for you to open it. I'm going to say it again. Jesus came to give you an eternal gift this Christmas. Open it. Pray with me. Father God, thank you so much that you have come. You've come in this small little package that we don't understand, that you came as the God of the universe through eternal perfection to come down to this eternal jacked upness around you. Live in it, redeem it, to bring peace into a situation that has no peace. To bring glory to yourself and also to bring redemption to us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that it's not some fairy tale, that it's not something that comes up, that it's not something that starts off with a once upon a time and ends with a happily ever after, but it comes with you in our earth, living as us, dying for us, redeeming us for your glory. Thank you, Jesus, that this Christmas we can celebrate that. And help us to constantly, as believers and even those who do not believe today, to unwrap the gift that you place before us. We ask this all in your name. All God's saints say, amen and amen. So a few years ago, more than a few now, she's 10, I got to hold my newborn, this little squealing pile of mass named Aaliyah. And I mean, she just squealed. Like, she just sounded like a tea kettle. And I looked at her and she stared into my soul and I broke. I thought I was a strong man. I saw my daughter. I broke. And it was a beautiful thing. And I think at that moment, I finally got an idea of what it was like to hold something so small and so helpless. And then to think of it as the God of the universe came down like that. And not just came down like that, but came down like that in probably one of the most vulnerable places, right? Because have you ever been on a farm before? The place where the animals live isn't exactly the safest place to be, right? They wander around, they poop everywhere, they're generally eating and peeing, and all kinds of stuff is going on in this area, and you're having a baby in the midst of it. You see, when you look at these passages, these aren't passages that sound like, oh, this is a great once upon a time story. No. It's giving you details. Right? It's talking about the emperor that you can go look up. Even secular historians will go and go, hey, that historian actually lived. Quirinius was a governor at that time. They actually had attacks at that time. See, this is what Luke was doing. He was doing the research. He wanted to find out, when did this happen? So Luke gave you all kinds of details nobody else gave you. Caesar Augustus showed up. Yeah, that's a real guy that we've all read about in our history books. Quirinius, you may not have read about him, but he's a real guy in Syria. And what did he do? He wanted to tax. He wanted to find out where everybody was. He did a census. We're going to do that next year in our country. He did it at the time. Wanted everybody. He said, Joseph is out of the house of David. He literally said, hey, I can tell you what line he came from, where his family came, or as we say it, where his mama didn't come from, right? Like, where did he come from? Why does he have to go back to this specific place to be registered? You see, this isn't just something that somebody comes out and says, hey, this is the thing that happened. No. This is not just the thing that happened. It's history. It's rooted in actual history. You see, here's something very simple that you can get your hearts and minds around. And I really think with confidence in our lives, regardless of our situations and scenario, we would actually grow. Yet we would actually explode outright if we believed it. If you draw your attention back to what I've said for the last few weeks, is this little phrase. Jesus actually showed up. Jesus actually showed up. Maybe you're missing the significance of that. The God of the universe, after 400 years of silence, showed up in the form of a baby. It wasn't that he just spoke. It wasn't like he was a fiery furnace or something like that. It wasn't like he was a prophet that he sent down. No. He said, forget all the other stuff. I'm going to show up. You see, again, that's not normal. That's not something that you see when you read everything else that's out there, when people are pushing and peddling all these ideas on you, that doesn't show up all the time. God, the God of the universe, showed up and said, I'm here for you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to actually show up. He came. He arrived. It wasn't wishful thinking. It wasn't fingers crossed. No. He showed up. You will not find a historian, whether religious or non-religious, that does not believe that Jesus actually showed up on the scene. The Jesus of the Nazareth lived, breathed, walked, was arrested, tried, crucified by a Roman Empire. No historian, as any kind of legitimate historian, would ever question that. This is what he did. He lived. Then they even have to play some games if you get into it. And again, it goes back to what I was watching on Discovery Channel. When they got to play games. They're like, well, he may have lived, but he probably didn't live in this. Or he probably didn't do these things. He probably didn't go here or do this. And there's all these weaving and bobbing and trying to make it all fit. But listen, society is so goofy when it comes to it because Jesus literally showed up on the scene and split history. Like, I know that we've changed it now, but you realize it says BC and AD, right? Before Christ and after his death. He literally split history in half in the Western Hemisphere. The way we know and understand all of history is based on him. It's based on him. And so when we go back to Galilee and he doesn't start just doing car trips or actually learning different things he learned back in Egypt. No. He comes in and says, I am the God of the universe. Jesus says, I'm God. And what's your position? What is your position in light of knowing that I'm God? What is your position in light of knowing who I am? Well, you know, as somebody told me this week, I think he was a good teacher. That's good, except for he taught that he was God. Well, maybe he was just a really good prophet. Well, that's great, except for he prophesied about himself. So who do you say he is? Or maybe you can get to, you know, one of my neighbors said, well, I don't believe he's God. I have no intention to submitting to him as God. But I think he was nice. That's cool, except for that denies everything that he actually is. You see, the present that is given to you this Christmas is the present that he's asking you to open up. And he's saying, I'm God, and I came for you. I gave everything for you. What are you going to do about it? Like, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to open that present? And I know. Some of us grew up in church, and so we're like, well, yeah, I opened that present. Like, I walked the aisle, I shook the preacher's hand, they dunked me in some water, I said some words, and everything was good. Well, that's great. That's called magic. I'm talking about reality. I'm not talking about you doing some hocus-pocus words that made you feel really good at one time, and, you know, your heart felt, oh, no, I'm talking about actually having your life changed. Changed. Have you had that? Have you been born again? Nicodemus went to Jesus, and Jesus said, you have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And he goes, do I have to enter my mom's womb again? Like, that'd be awkward. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking your heart to be born again. It means to know Jesus as your Savior. It means that you know that you need a Savior. Let me say that again. It means that you know you need a Savior. You see, it means that God is not surprised by you or your actions. You're stumbling, you're bumbling, any of your sins that you've done. It doesn't matter how you got to this place. It doesn't matter how you came into this place. It doesn't matter all the waywardness that is in your life. God is not surprised by it. The whole point of Emmanuel, God being with us, is that you and I are in need of a righteousness that is greater than our righteousness. It's greater than what we can provide for ourselves. It's greater than what we have within us. And we got a lot of righteousness that we've tried to build up in our life, but it's greater than all of that. And he gives it to you. We're going to need purity that we do not possess. And that's found in Jesus. Have you ever received that? Like, have you received that present? Now, listen, in 2 days, you're probably going to get some nice presents, right? Some of us might get some electronics. Some of us might get some socks and underwear. That's what I'm going to get probably. That's good. And I'm good with it. I probably need it, right? Like, you know, some of us are going to get headphones, earphones, you know, all kinds of stuff. I know my best friend, they're going to open up an envelope and find out they're having a boy or a girl, right? Which I will say for the record, my wife thinks is a girl. And so that'll be their fourth girl. Whatever it's going to be, like, everybody has different gifts that they may or may not get to open up that day. Maybe you get to open up at work. Yes, I've done that too on Christmas Day. There's all kinds of things you get to open up, but the present that I want you to open this Christmas is a righteousness that is beyond yours. One that you cannot provide for yourself. One that you do not have within you. One that you do not possess. And I'm not saying that you're a bad person, though the Bible does say that. What I am saying is that Jesus gives you so much more. He gives you more than you can give. He gives you everything that you deserve. He gives you nothing that you deserve and everything you don't deserve. He gives you himself. You see, the more you dig into Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, God came and lived the perfect life so that you and I might not only be giving and imputed his righteousness and perfection, but that we also might take, he might take from us the cross and our sins, our shortcomings, our failures in life. Then really where we start to separate even more from secular history is the idea of resurrection, right? That Jesus was so holy, so perfect, so everything that death itself couldn't hold him. He got up. You see, I love that. I can't wait till Easter because we get the shout at that moment. He got up, right? Like he didn't just stay in the grave. He got up because he can't be held. He is sinless. He's everything we should have been. You see, that's when Christianity explodes. That's when it explodes in your life and my life. That's when you can't help telling people about it. Here's what I mean. Maybe you don't understand, so I'll back it up. So Monday morning, I go work out. I know it don't look like it. I'm getting there, okay? So I go work out on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? I went down to the link, and I walk in at 5 a.m. Now, there's a couple things at 5 a.m. that I love. At 5 a.m., ain't nobody there. So I'm not showing off for anybody. I don't need you to look at me. I don't need to look. I walk in with heavy sweats, heavy hoodie. I tie it tight around my face so you can't even see me with headphones in. So I can't hear nothing. I don't want to be bothered. It is 5 a.m. I don't think Jesus is up yet, right? So I'm walking in and I don't have my earphones up yet. I beep in, boop. I walk and all of a sudden I hear, unt, 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 unt. I'm like, what is going on? Why do we have a party? And I noticed like three other cars coming up the same time I was. I was like, this is madness. Who's coming in at 5 a.m.? No, this is my time. Nobody's here. It's me. It's Reggie. Well, I can name the people that are there because it's just the workers and me. That's all that's there. I love it. But I hear, unt, unt, unt. I'm like, okay, all right. So I look around, I'm trying to figure it out. And there's these double speakers in the gym. Now, if you've ever been to Link, there's this four courts and you just hear, unt, unt. And then there's a skinny lady with a face mic where I knew I was in trouble at that point. So I walk in there and I was like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, we're doing aerobics class. Well, you know, I mean, I'll be honest. I've been losing weight, but I've kind of plateaued, right? I've been trying to mix it up, but I've done my aerobics. I've upped it. I've eaten better, but I've kind of plateaued. I say, you know something? I'm going to try it with you. And she's like, okay, great. What's your name? She says, Stacey. I said, I'm John. So I shook hands. She goes, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. She goes, why do you come? I said, because I don't want to be a fat pastor, right? And she's like, that's great. Do you have any injuries? I said, probably after this. And she got into class, and this woman tried to kill me. For an hour straight, she tried to kill me. Like after, she's talking about increments and doing exercise. I didn't know I could bend this way. I was just doing all kinds of stuff. And then she got done with that and said, that was the warm up. I'm like, you are evil woman. But if you know anything about me, I have this theme in the back of my head that I have from childhood. And my dad kind of got it into me and it's real simple. See, it hurts so good. See, I did martial arts, and one thing you have to learn in martial arts is how to push through pain. And so my dad would say all the time, as you got into a lot of pain, it hurts so good, doesn't it, boy? And so when I got done with her workout, I was in a lot of pain. But you know, in my mind, it said it hurts so good. So you know what I did? I came home, I got to my bed, and my wife is still in bed like a sane person. And I said, baby, guess what happened? Ow. I talked to this skinny lady with a mic on her face, and she yelled at me for an hour, and it was so much fun. And she's like, I will never go. And then I started talking to friends, talked to Jake, I talked to Roosevelt. You guys should come with me. And then Wednesday at 5 a.m., you should come. And it's funny because when I got done with the workout, I literally just sat on the ground. I could not get up. And she's like, I hope you come back. I'm like, I'll be back. And I knew none of them believed me, but I showed up on Wednesday. Hey, I'm back. I brought a friend, right? I brought a friend. She goes, oh, wow. Like she literally said, oh, wow. I got there at 5 with a friend. And I warned Roosevelt. I said, bro, this is going to hurt. And he's like, okay. And I was like, but he's more in shape than me, so he should be fine. hour of punishment later, right? And I got done. And what did I do? I came back home and I was like, that hurt. I can't wait to do it again. And I'm not saying, I'll be honest, I understand that about myself. But what I do understand is I'm so passionate about it that I'm going to go tell other people. Because I know that that pain and the suffering that I'm going through in that hour with the skinny girl with the face mic as she cheers me on and goes, hey, because you know at the point when you think they're not looking and then they say your name so you know they're looking at you, like that happened to me multiple times. You're doing great, John. No, I'm not. Stay away. Right? Like, so this is going on all day and I'm working out, but I loved it so much. I went and told others about it. I brought others to it. I roped them into it. I said, hey, come see this really cool thing that I'm doing that hurts, but is so cool because it's going to make me a better me. You probably see where I'm going with this. You see, if something has changed you and something is beginning to change you, you're going to do everything you can to call, to talk, cajole, drag, beg, borrow, steal anybody to come see Jesus if he's changed your life. But you see, but you're not doing that. Maybe he hasn't changed your life. Maybe you haven't unwrapped that present. Because the same kind of passion I have for Stacy and her little workout class I've been to twice, and I'll probably go back after the new year, it pales in comparison to the passion I have for Jesus and telling people about Jesus. And yes, I understand I'm the preacher, I'm supposed to. But what about you? Because I was this way before I was preaching. What about you? Have you told somebody? Have you risked yourself to that point? Have you opened that present and said, this present is worth risking everything for? I'm willing to give it to you regardless of what it costs my relationship with you because I love you that much. You see, that's the present I'm talking about. Have you put that down and said, hey, I know this might cost everything, but it's worth it. I know this might hurt a little bit in your life because it's gonna make you change some places or maybe sever some relationships or maybe grow in a way you don't want to grow, but I'm willing to put it before you and give it to you because it's worth it because there's a baby who came to give you everything. Will you open that present this Christmas? You see, when you're passionate about something, you tell people about it. When you're in love with something, you tell people about it. I've never met somebody who's in love with their partner who's been like, so, you know, like they're like, I love them, right? You know, I love them. It comes out everywhere they can. They all looking all googly-eyed at them, right? Telling people, they're so pretty. Facebook official, click, click, we're in a relationship, right? Like this is what we do. We let the world know when you're in love. You don't keep that on the DL. And if you do, it's because you're doing something wrong. Jesus is one of those things you don't keep on the DL. There are no 007 agents. If you are a Christ follower, you're telling people about it. You're living. You're showing people this present. You're going, open, open, open. It's worth it. It's worth it. But what if it's worth it. He's worth it. It's all worth it. You see, this is the way Christianity has exploded throughout the new world and the known world. You go all the way back. Listen, by AD 350, after 350 years after Jesus died, 51% of the Roman Empire was already Christian. I just want you to think about this. We're talking millions of people that spanned from Spain to India. 51% of them were Christian after 350 years. You know why? Because you couldn't shut us up. Because everywhere we went, we said, hey, let me tell you about this guy named Jesus. We're going to kill you. Cool. Let me tell you about this guy named Jesus. I mean, kill me afterwards, but let me tell you about him. Right? But we don't want you to go. That's cool. Let me tell you about Jesus. Everywhere we go. Do you live that life? Do you live in such a way that people know you're in? You're in for Jesus. You see, Jesus arrived to rescue, to redeem, to forgive fully, freely, and forever those who would put their faith and trust in him, to take from our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh and begin to malleable and change them into what he wants them to be. He said, hey, once you have that heart of flesh, I'm going to send you into the world to begin to push darkness back because you leave with my light. You lead with my light. This is the reason why we like these candles. You lead with that light. Darkness flees from light, not the other way around. He says, I'm going to send you into the world, this dark world. Your salt, your light, that's what we're sending you into. Jesus showed up and there was nothing going to happen for the next 48 hours that's cooler than knowing that Jesus showed up. Nothing. You can wake up Christmas Day and get whatever you want. You can get a Lexus in the driveway. I brought that up every week for a reason. You can get a Lexus in the driveway. You can get an Xbox. You can get whatever you want. Nothing is cooler than knowing that the God of the universe showed up. I just want you to just get that. Let it sink. The God of the universe showed up. I held a baby last night just in my arm. He didn't stay there long because I'm not as cute as my wife. But he looked at me and it was amazing. He's probably, 8 pounds? Beautiful little thing. The God of the universe came from perfection, heaven, The streets are made of gold there. We throw asphalt out here because that's not the best substance, but it keeps our tires okay. They're using gold for their streets, the stuff you drive on and walk on. What are your houses made out of and your other buildings? What are the precious things in heaven if your streets are made of gold? He comes from that perfection to earth, to dirt and hay and feces, mice and rats and lies and things tearing us apart to redeem you, to redeem me. The God of the universe showed up. Light in the midst of darkness showed up. I want you to just marinate on that. Let that sink in. Incarnate, if you may. I wanted to get into your meat and actually hear it. Jesus showed up and there's nothing you can do. You and I are uniquely placed in a time in history where our confidence in the Word of God and our confidence in who God is should be growing, not shrinking. It should be growing. And I'll try to explain this in a biblical way. Ready? Genesis chapter 3, you have your first messianic prophecy, and you probably have seen the picture of Eve and Mary, and Mary's pregnant, Eve has got a serpent around her leg, and I love that because you look at this first prophecy, and we're actually going to talk about this starting in February, but a man is born of woman, born of Mary, who's going to crush the head of the serpent. That's such a beautiful thing. Then you get to Genesis 12. Fast forward a little bit. God is coming to man named Abram and talking through Abram. And he said he's going to bless all the earth. Now, Abram at the time was out of Iran, as we know it today. Ur of Chaldees. Iran. He probably didn't know of most of Asia. He didn't probably know of Russia, Siberia. He didn't know that. He surely didn't know about North America, South America. Probably didn't know of most of Africa. He just knew of the Middle East, maybe a little bit of Asia, maybe a little bit of Europe. And God said, through you, I'm going to bless the world. You're going to be the father of many men, father of many nations. And through both his sons, you literally have the two world's largest religions, Islam and Christianity, and Judaism. They're called Abrahamic religions because they come from Abraham himself. They literally are whittled down to one person in Genesis chapter 12 where that promise was made. And it's amazing because God makes that promise to Abram by himself. Oh, I can't wait to get there and preach it. But you see, there isn't a globe. There isn't all this other stuff. He doesn't know of continents. What he does know, he didn't even have an idea of how big the promise is. But what he does know, he doesn't know, have a concept of how big the God is. The God that called him into that promise. And so he says, all the nations will be blessed because of you. It sounds really a bit ridiculous. Yet we're in 2018, a millennia. And that promise in Genesis chapter 12 has been fulfilled in so many ways. 2018, here we are. We've seen the gospel spread all around the world. You and I, both of us, aren't of Jewish descent. I got a Jewish man in my background way back in the day. Besides that, we're not of Jewish descent. You and I, most of us, came to know Christ because a neighbor shared the gospel with us, a friend engaged us, because a college guy at a potluck was just kind of some weird hyper-spiritual type and wouldn't leave you alone about it, whatever it was. Whatever happened, you heard it. Maybe a faithful Sunday school teacher, whatever it was. Maybe we got suckered into going to church because she was really cute. Whatever it was, you're here. You heard the gospel and you received Christ. You got rescued. You and I got rescued because Jesus showed up. And I want to give you some verses to kind of understand it. And I'll throw it up on the screen so you can hear it. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says this. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You and I are really in a unique spot here. To grow in the confident because he keeps his promises to you and I. All over the world, the gospel goes out and keeps pushing out. Men and women are being rescued and saved regardless of backgrounds, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of their life, their story, their testimony. The God's gospel is going out and it started in this little bitty, tiny sliver of land next to an ocean that is still disputed to this day. God came to seek and save the lost. And over, he's given the same thing. Open the present. Open the present. Open the present. Come, open the present. This is what God does. He did it with us and he's going to continue to do it. And we may be unique. We may be unique in that we're American. We may be unique in that we're Missourians. We may be unique in that we're in the Midwest. But listen, we're not unique in the story that's been told for millennia over and over. For the thousands upon millions of people that have heard this and opened the exact same book, the exact same story and been saved. and you have been invited to play. Not only should your confidence grow, but you should show up. If you're a Christ follower, you should show up. He sent you into this world. He says you should grow and that you should show up, and the Christians should never be bored with where you live, work, and play. You shouldn't be bored. I know we have this farce, in especially here in the Midwest, where we go, well, everybody I know is Christian. Dig just a little bit deeper. Dig just a little bit deeper. And you'll find out that most people don't actually believe it. Matter of fact, take a step back and just look at their life and you'll see it. You have been given the opportunity to go where no man has been called to go. It's Jefferson City, by the way. Columbia for some of you, right? You've been called to go to no man's land where there are a lot of heathens all around you. Where do you live, work, and play? God has called you to show up there. He needs light there. But I work in a place and we're not supposed to talk about Jesus. Cool. You have lunch breaks, don't you? You have breaks, don't you? Some of y'all have social activities after work, don't you? There are times to leverage yourself. Well, I'm in class and, you know, there's not, that's cool. You have all kinds of breaks and recreations and times to talk. We have the opportunity to show people the beauty of what it is. And what happens is that we have a tendency to overthink what it means to be the people of God. I mean, we're men and women who herald the gospel of Jesus Christ, that live our lives where our hands are open, listening for the hurts and hangups and frustrations, and then we enter that fray. When you hear the hurts and hangups and frustrations, we enter the frame. That's what the God of the universe did, and that's what he calls us to do. We are not a people who look at the brokenness of the world and wish somebody would fix it. That's not our job. We don't look at it and go, man, I wish somebody would fix it. No, we lean in. We're people who enter into the brokenness of the world and become in many ways the hands and feet of Jesus. That's our call. That's our call. That makes us unique in the world, because so many of us want to stand back and just go, well, he can fix it. He's got money. She's got the talent. You guys go do it. I mean, we're really good at that, aren't we? I mean, if you don't believe me, look at the headline. Our government shut down because both sides said, well, this is the way you fix it, and nobody could actually lean into it. Okay, so let's lean into it, guys. It's not complex. People living around us are being mindful of their own lives. Need Jesus. To be able to simply serve and love the community that's around us. Giving them a cold cup of water. Now listen. Because we've lived our last few years as a church that way, have we seen a lot of salvations? Not as many as I'd want. I'll just be honest. We, you know, just us girls here, so let's be honest. Not as many as I want. But by God's grace, he's been faithful. He has been faithful. And here's the thing. I certainly hope that we begin to see more. And I've been praying that way. But you know something? To meet a felt need may not be the deepest need of the soul, but it's not really an exercise of futility either. We're commanded to reflect the love and mercy of Christ and be, as the church, ever present in the city. It's our call to lean into the problems. It's our call to see the problem and go, we're going to lean into this and pray that God brings fruit out of it. And so I'll admit that we do lose something when I'm talking to the dean of students this week and I ask him, hey, what church do you go to? Oh, well, I've been going to this, that, and the third. Cool, man. Make sure you're there on Sunday. You see, I lose something when I don't go, you should come to my church. No. I just want you to know Jesus. You see, the joy comes out of knowing that you know Jesus. The joy comes out of knowing that you have opened that present. The joy comes out of you knowing that God showed up for you and that you can live that life along with us. That's what the kingdom of God is about. You see, here's where we've put it. Here's where we put it. And we don't spend a lot of time here, but it'll reveal idolatry in our life when we realize that when we say to ourselves, we can't do that. We can't leverage ourselves when we live, work, and play. You see, that means comfort's your idol in that moment. That's when you've chosen comfort over the glory of God. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of saints before you have not chosen that. You see, it's not just that Jesus has shown up and that he accomplished his mission, but by accomplishing his ministry while inviting us into the process. But then you have the reality, not the myth, but the reality that Christ will return. He will come back. Here's what I'd love for you to do. In your Bible, grab it again. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. It's page 1041 in the Harback Black Pew Bible. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read another verse for you for time's sake before we read that verse together. Matter of fact, Corey, why don't you put on the screen 1 John. It's the next one. It should be the next slide. 1 John 3 and 2 says this. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Now, this verse creates what's vitally important for you and me to understand, lest we begin to believe that God is some kind of genie in a bottle. This isn't Aladdin or anything like that, right? We don't get to take control of him. We're in a narrow space, a space in between eternity and now. You and I are living in a narrow space between where Christ has purchased us for his good, what's good and right, and has to, when everything is consummated in his return, when he comes back. That's what this Advent is about. So this text kind of fleshes this out. We are, even though we're children of God right now, not like what we will be. We're not there yet. In other words, in heaven, I won't have to go to Stacy to go work out, right? I won't have to be there at 5 a.m. I can sleep in for all of God's glory. And still be skinny. It'll be a good thing, right? And here's the thing. If you're over the age of, 35, you know exactly what this feels like. You know, when I was a kid, I could ride a bike down a hill, crash a few times, take a baseball bat to the knee, fall out of a tree, and just wake up a little bit sore. Now, if I sleep too long, I feel like I need to go to the chiropractor, right? Like, it just, things aren't moving right. I'm not sure what's going on with my body. It's deteriorating. That's what happens. Now, I know the young men in the back are like, not me. Just wait. And that's just reality. That's what happens to you. As you walk through life, as you live life, your body changes. It deteriorates. And God says there's this already not yet that you're living in. There's already that you've been brought into the kingdom, this not yet that you're not perfected the way I want you to be, but I still will use you in your brokenness. You're still being used. Though you're all jacked up, you're still going to be used today. And all you have to do is open your hands and say, okay, use me. Use me how you want. Where do you want me to go? What do you need me to say? You see that? There's where we get in trouble, because sometimes we like to say what we want to say and not what Jesus tells us to say. And so he says, what do you want me to say? Or here, let's make it social media. What do you want me to type or not type? Because, you know, people say all kinds of crazy stuff online. And if you're like me, you take a lot of deep breaths. And then if you're like me, if you watch Facebook, you'll probably see my dots come up. John is typing. And then they disappear. Because before I hit enter, I take a lot of time to pray. Jesus, should I post this? Right? Is that already not yet? I know my mind and my mouth aren't perfected just yet. I know. But Jesus showed up for you. He showed up to give you this ability. He showed up to step back and go, what would Jesus do? That old school. The Bible over and over says here in this verse, when he appears, we will not be as we are, but we will be as he is. So the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are here will be changed in a twinkling of the eye. Now, do not make this verse mean something it doesn't. It means that Christ has purchased us, and in an instant he'll be here. Will be in a place, resurrected bodies, the death of death, the disappearance of sorrow and loss, the eradication of tears, the twinkling of the eye, an instant, the return of Christ. You'll see that when you switch over to Revelation chapter 21, which it says this. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away into the sea and were no more. It's a simple idea of newness. You see, what's in this package that he's asked you to open for Christmas is newness. The John that stands before you is not the John that I knew 15, 20 years ago outside of Christ. The John that stands before you could wear a suit. That's great. I could speak. I did debate and forensics. I could do that all day. I could write a speech if I needed to, right? I can research if I want to. But the heart was not there. You see, the John 20 years ago could give a rip about you, very honestly. He knew that you were something that ends to a mean. If I wanted something from you, I would use you as long as I needed, and then I would dump you off to the side and move on with my life. I left a trail of trash and hurt and pain that I had to repent of. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Christ came into my life and began to make me new. You see, he showed up on this earth to give me the opportunity to be new and to give you the opportunity to open up the door to you to be new. And some of us are Christians. You're like, well, we already got that gift. Yeah, but he's still going. He's still going. Because here's what's going to happen is you're going to get a job and then you're going to meet that person. And you're going to have to be new again. And then you're going to maybe have some babies. You're going to have to be new there. And you know, you maybe get married, flip that around, but whatever. You know, and you'll have to be new there, right? And whatever situation in life you end up in, he's going to make you new. And every single time you think that you've gotten there, you've got to the pinnacle of where you are, you're like, here I am. I'm finally at the top. I'm there. I've arrived. He's going to expose something else in your life. You're going to like, oh, snap. Oh. And he's like, I got to make you new again. That's what he's doing with you. He's offering you this Christmas to be made new. And what's going to happen when he comes back? When he comes back, he's not going to come as a baby this time, but he's going to come with a dude, I love it, sword coming out of his mouth, tattoo on his thigh, and he's going to come out and he's going to like, listen, here it comes. New heavens, new earth, all of it's being redeemed. All the stuff that's going on around us goes away. He's going to bring it back and set it where it belongs. You see, in that time before then, he wants to make you new. No, he wants to make you new. He says this, I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven and from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. You might want to underline that, is with man. I love that. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, he goes on, he says, and he who is seated at the throne, behold, I am making all things new. I'm going to say that again. He says, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. Verse 6, he said, and he said to me, it is done. How's that possible? Because I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's so interesting the play on words here. The Jesus on the Christ cries out what? It is finished. He cries out from the cross. It is finished. It's paid for. It's finished. I bought it. Now Revelation 21, you get it again. He says, it is finished. It's done. It's a wrap. It's all paid for. It's all new. You get it? It's done. All things are new. See, I make all things new. I make you new. Do you want that? Or maybe we can just sit around in our own little thing and, I mean, have a good Christmas, but not really be made new. No more mourning. No more pain. I don't know if you've lost something ever, but let me tell you the pain of losing something. I don't want that anymore. I don't wish that on my enemy. I don't wish that on my enemy. No more laws. I'm kind of done with laws right now. No more laws. Every tear now making sense. Every heartbreak eradicated. Everything being seen through God's redemption moving forward for his glory and his grace and his honor and his praise. All those heart wounds in us gone forever. Behold, I'm making all things new. Now God providentially has governed. And sad things have become untrue. And on this day, the myth becomes all the sadness and loss of our time in a narrow place. And there's where our hope is. There's where our hope is this Christmas. That's it. Tell me, give it to you again, just so you can hear it, the soul tattoo. Jesus came to give you eternal gift, to give you eternal gift this Christmas. Some of us have been sitting here for weeks and weeks in and have never opened that gift for the first time. Some of us are waiting, maybe just hoping that we'll all figure it out and, you know, it'll all wash out real quick. It'll work out. We'll, We'll get into heaven, right? But I'm telling you, God's word is very clear. Without receiving that gift, it's not true. For us as Christ followers, some of us are sitting here and going, well, I'm good. I mean, I'm in. I got fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. So, I mean, I'm really good, right? Yeah, well, that's great. But is that enough? Or should you not continue to move forward and be made new, being renewed of your mind, body, spirit? What places is God pressing on? What dark place have you shut off from Him that He's saying, I want to open that place? What is that place in your heart, your mind, your spirit? The Bible's really honest. The world is broken. That was a good place for an amen. I'm going to try that again. The Bible is really honest. The world is broken.
Amen.
There we go. Good. I mean, with all the teachings, Jesus often comes back to this reality, right? He comes back over and over. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. The poor will always be with you. He constantly is coming back going, yo, it's broken around here. This is messed up. My dad used to say it's tore up from the floor up. Like that's what it is. It's just messed up. In this world, you will have trouble. You shouldn't feel like it's a bait and switch if it's a tough season. No, this is what it is. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus, the one who came into the world, has overcome the world. He did not let the world overcome Him. That's the beauty of the Christ that we serve. So our hope is in this. Although we work hard and push back the darkness in the world, and darkness dies on this day, which is Christmas. Now, I know usually we say darkness dies at the cross, and that's true too. But darkness dies when they realize that the one that's going to kill it shows up. See, that's the beauty of the moment, right? That's the beauty of the moment. Here, maybe you're not getting it, so let me help you out. Anybody watch Infinity War? Avengers Infinity War? Okay, good. Okay, so there's a part in the movie where everything's gone, and it's the Battle of Wakanda, spoiler alerts. Battle of Wakanda, and everything's kind of going awry, and everybody's getting whooped, and Thanos is just like, and everybody's just dying, right? And it was kind of crazy. And then there's one point that happens where, the Bifrost opens, and Thor shows up with Groot and the raccoon, right? Rocket. He shows up, and all of a sudden, he's superpowered. He's got this the new axe, and he's just flinging around, and everybody's dying, right? It's at that moment when he shows up, everybody looks at him, and they realize, oh, actually, what was it? Bruce Banner says, oh, you guys are in trouble now. It's actually one of my favorite lines of the movie. One, because Bruce Banner the whole time can't get Hulk out, which is hilarious. But just the fact that he's sitting there, and he's like, oh, you guys are all in trouble now. You see, that's the way the demons felt the day that Jesus was born. Oh, we're in trouble now. You want evidence of it? Read the New Testament over and over. When Jesus showed up, they're like, it's not now. No, not right now. We're not supposed to die yet. No, not now. The lake of fire comes later. Like, they know their fate. Now is when it's over. Now it's when it's over. They're trying to get their licks in as much as they can, but now is when it's over. Death has died. It's over. It's a wrap. Nothing can overcome Him. He has overcome the world. There's nothing you will get. There's no material thing. There's no gift. There's no hug. There's nothing that you will get in the next 48 hours that will overcome the gift that Christ is trying to give you right now. I just wish you would open it. I wish you would open it. Years ago, I went to this church. I went to this church in Manhattan, Kansas, right outside of Manhattan, Kansas. It was a Wesley church. And I heard this guy named Dave. He get up on stage. He just got back from Africa. He's hopping around. Didn't know anything about it. Hadn't been to church in years. Didn't really care to be there. Was there because somebody invited me, so I just went to appease him. And I heard him tell the gospel I just told you guys. Jesus came for you. For you, not for any other reason, but for you. That He died for you. That if you were the only one that would receive Him, He still would go to the cross for you. That He came from heaven to earth for you. And I remember being like some of you guys who were just, I sat there and I wasn't really sure what to do with it, so I just kind of left it. I want to invite you in to the reality that Jesus came for you, that He lived a perfect life for you, that He died a horrible death for you, so that you and I and redeemer and redeemed believers from all throughout history, moving past, present, and future, could stand before him, perfected, being made new, because we've received the present of his glorious, glorious death, burial, and resurrection. This Christmas, no matter if I see you tomorrow, no matter if I see you this week, no matter if I never see you again, this Christmas, I'm begging you, open the one present that actually matters. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that out of all the presents that we're going to get, the one that we need and the one that you give us is your Son. Thank you for coming to this earth, living that life, dying a death that we deserve, so that we can receive the goodness and mercy in our life. Father, we need you. We absolutely need you in every aspect of our life. We need you to redeem us. We need you to give us righteousness. We need you to give us what we do not have on ourselves. And Father, I just ask that you help us today, even over the next 48 hours, as we look at the gifts and see family and hug people and kiss foreheads, that we remember that you are the reason for all of this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you make all things new, that you're in the business of making all things new, and that you are redeeming each and every one of us. And for those in this place that do not know you, let today be the day that you begin to change their heart of stone to one of flesh and make them new. Thank you, Jesus, that all those years ago you did that in me, and that you're still doing it in me. Let us celebrate well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.